Dr. Christian's office. Yes, yes, he is. Dr. Christian's back.
Tonight, the Vaseline program presents the winners of the Dr. Christian Award for 1945 with our star, Jean Herschel, presiding, assisted by Helen Clare, who plays Judy Price. Men, dry scalp can certainly detract from your appearance. Don't ignore dry scalp. Watch for those warning signs. Dry, brittle, rebellious hair, loose, unsightly dandruff, tight, itchy scalp. Any one of these conditions may be aggravated by hot summer sun, wind, and water. At the first sign of dry scalp, start using Vaseline Hair Tonic. With Vaseline Hair Tonic, you combat dry scalp. Check it easily, quickly, effectively. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements natural scalp oils. Contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Apply just 5 drops a day with comb or directly on the hair. You'll check dry scalp, groom rebellious hair, keep it soft and neat. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo loosens dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Buy, try Vaseline Hair Tonic. It's ideal care for scalp and hair. Remember, more bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any other hair tonic in America. Buy a bottle tonight. And now we welcome home our star, Jean Herschel.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Oh, it's good to have you back, Dr. Christian. Mr. Herschel.
Oh, that's all right, Helen. A perfectly natural mistake. My wife makes it quite often.
Before we announce the winners of the Dr. Christian Award for 1945, won't you tell us something about your trip to Denmark?
Oh, yes. I know everyone would love to hear about some of the things you did and saw. How many miles did you cover?
About 7,000. And I flew over 7 countries, not counting our own. And I visited in Somme and was back, or should I say, am back tonight, after only 18 days.
Well, how did you go, Mr. Herschel?
By American Export Airlines from here to England. From there, the RAF took me to Denmark. We flew from New York to Copenhagen in about 27 hours. We gained a little time on the return trip and made it in about 24 hours.
And how was dear old London town?
Well, I think I remember the miracle of St. Paul's Cathedral more than anything else. There it stood, still proud and beautiful with nothing but rubble and ruins around it. The Garys couldn't down Samuel Duncan either. His statue still stands there all alone, with his profile turned toward the sky.
Would it be out of place to ask, how was the food?
John Reed King?
It's not too good, John, if that's any consolation.
What about Germany?
England's devastation, as bad as it is nothing compared to German towns and cities. Well, we flew over Hamburg. Looks like a volcano crater. But then we flew over the Danish border, and I thought we were coming to an oasis.
Is that much difference?
It's almost unbelievable. A few buildings are wrecked in Copenhagen, but those were blown out by the Danes themselves, by the underground, during the German occupation. They had over 43,000 trained and completely armed men in Copenhagen alone.
Well, how did they manage that?
Well, they were trained in groups of 5 and 6 by paratroopers flown over from England. Doctors, lawyers, and other professions formed groups, and others followed.
But what about supplies?
Since 1944, Sweden alone has sent 70,000 tons of ammunition, 7,000 flamethrowers, and 50,000 hand grenades. Well, that'll give you some idea of the cooperation and the encouragement they have had.
Well, how did they ever get it in?
Well, a lot of it was simply rolled over by Swedish and Danish fishing boats.
And how is the food in Denmark, Mr. Herschel?
John, I don't want to break your heart, but the food in Denmark was just as good as it has ever been. And you know how good that is, if you've ever been in that country. But there's a very interesting reason for that. You see, the Germans planned a last stand near there, and thinking of the stomachs as usual, planned to use Denmark as the kitchen. They didn't know they were really doing us a favor, because now Denmark will be able to help other countries with between 90,000 and 100,000 tons of food before September.
Boomerang, huh?
Well, of course, Denmark can't send food to other countries unless she gets coal and iron and oil to make transportation possible.
What about Sweden, Mr. Hirschfeld?
Sweden was like another world. I arrived in time for the Midsummer Nights Festival, and you see, that's their important holiday, like Christmas. Children were dancing around Maypoles. The whole city was ablaze with lights.
And plenty of food?
Yes, John, although butter and meat are rationed.
Well, what about nylon stockings?
Helen, would you believe it? You can buy nylon stockings for only 17 kroner in Stockholm, and that's about $4 a pair in our money.
And you didn't bring either Mrs. Hirschfeld or Judy a pair?
I couldn't. All the stores were closed the 2 days while I was there, during the festival.
Oh.
Oh, yes, but wait a minute. I saw them through the store windows.
What wouldn't I give even for a peek?
One of the most interesting things I did in Copenhagen was to go through one of the jails with the chief of police one day.
Oh, well, did you see any captured Nazi big shots or collaborationists?
They weren't big shots, Helen. But there were two of them I shall never forget. For many years now, I've been giving a Hirschfeld trophy to the new sportsman or sportswoman who gained special recognition that year. In 1936, I remember, it was presented to a very charming girl for her prowess in swimming. She wrote a note thanking me. Well, of course, I answered her note, and I said I hoped we would meet someday. We did. That day, he was in jail, as I went through, held for collaborating with the Germans.
Oh. Well, who was the other?
No one I had ever known before, but someone we should all meet. He typifies the German ideal. He was one of those Nazi gangsters. He admitted killing 87 innocent people. I asked him, if you had your life to live over again, what would you do? Well, I could hardly believe my ears when he said, I'd do exactly the same thing.
There's no repentance in them, it seems.
Well, then he added, what's more, even if it takes 5, 10, or 15 years, Hitler is not dead. He'll come back, and the Nazi party with him.
And what did you say to that?
Well, I couldn't resist reminding him that he won't be here to see it.
What about the German prisoners?
Oh, that's a different story. Denmark is putting them to good use.
How, Dr. Christian?
Clearing the countryside and the cities of the mines the Germans left. You see, if anyone gets blown up, they will.
You had an audience with the King of Denmark, didn't you, Mr. Hirschfeld?
Yes, Helen. And he is not only the best loved man in the country, but he's come to be a symbol of Denmark itself.
Oh, I'll bet everybody put out the red carpet for you. But isn't it nice to be home?
That's the greatest thrill of all. You get home to America. Well, you had me talking longer than I intended to. Let's get on with the important business of presenting the winners of the Dr. Christian Award for 1945. But first, let me say thank you to the many thousands who entered scripts for the award. We commend the spirit you displayed in trying and striving to win. It's the American creed that a man or woman can go on as far as his ability will take him. Those who are winners tonight have won on the basis of merit and merit alone, according to the opinion of the Committee of Judges. Now, John Reed King, let's have the names of the winners. You are going to announce 8 winners tonight, aren't you?
Yes, 8 winners, and the first prize of $2,000 goes to Eleanor Tarshis of Forest Hills, New York, for her script, Davies in Love. Second prize of $1,000 goes to Joseph C. Cook and Dr. Simon G. Sachs of Duluth, Minnesota, who collaborated on the script Carrare. The third prize of $500 goes to James Boston of Cambridge, Massachusetts, for his script The Last Awakening. Awards of $350 each go to Peggy Mann, New York City, for her script Always a Woman, to Mrs. Mary M. Pindle of St. Joseph, Missouri, for her script, Leave It to Love, to George D. Griffin of Washington, D.C., for his script, The Liar, to Vernon O'Brien of New York City for his script, Two Notes, to Patrick Kaler of Brooklyn, New York, for his script, Love to Mama. We've had an exciting day today trying to reach some of these winners so we could present them to you in person tonight. We have the $2,000 winner, Eleanor Tarshis, right here on the stage now. A charming young brunette. We wish you could see her flashing smile. Here she is, Miss Eleanor Tarshis.
And is it safe to ask you how it feels to win $2,000?
Oh, I'm floating.
You know, Miss Tarshis, you're the only girl who, and the first girl to win the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award. You're also the first native New Yorker to win.
Oh, I think I should share that honor with Ohio. I spent some time there, too.
Well, where was that?
I went to high school and college there, the University of Ohio, of Toledo.
And have you always wanted to be a writer?
Well, I began writing when I was 7. When I was 10, I wrote the great American novel.
Oh.
I used to hide it in an old jar at home so my mother wouldn't see it. And I've got 4 bales of old manuscripts in the closet right now.
Well, what made you turn to radio?
I sent some of my short stories to an agent here, and she said she thought I would do better as a playwright.
I see. And you began writing for radio immediately?
First, I went to Emerson College in Boston to study radio. Then I sold some scripts to several national radio programs. I worked on an upstate radio station for a while, writing and directing plays, announcing the news, doing just about everything. After that, I was employed as news researcher in the overseas department of a radio network. And until now, that's where I got my biggest thrill.
Well, what was that?
Well, I was the first person to handle the news of the surrender of Italy.
Oh, that must have been a thrill. I suppose, like all the girls, you have a sweetheart in the service?
Well, my brother is overseas in the Quartermaster Corps of the 8th Air Force. We're expecting him home on furlough soon, on his way to the Pacific.
The rest of your family?
Just my mother. She's seen me quit writing 1,000 times.
But you always come back to it.
Excuse me, Mr. Herschel, but I think Mother is here in the audience tonight.
Right down in the front row.
I think Mother should take a bow or two, don't you, Mr. Herschel?
Indeed I do.
Well, let's have her stand up. There she is right there.
I know how happy you must be, Mrs. Tarshis, to be with us tonight to see your daughter receive this $2,000 award for her fine radio play, Days in Love.
Thank you, Mr. Herschel. I'm very grateful to the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, sponsors of the Dr. Christian Award, for this opportunity you've given me. And, of course, actually having the check in my hand is a terrific thrill. Thank you all.
And now for our next winners, Joseph Cook and Dr. Simon Sachs, who won the second award of $1,000 for their script, Curare. We take you to Duluth, Minnesota, to radio station KDAL. Come in, KDAL.
Imagine it was last night. Suddenly your telephone rings in its usual busy-like tone, and you answer and a voice calmly informs you, your script entry has taken second place in the summer series of the Dr. Christian Playwriting Awards. You probably would have reacted much like these two men here. When I saw them an hour after that eventful call, they were so happy and thrilled that they bubbled over just like a fountain. Beads of nervous perspiration gleamed on their foreheads as they nervously walked about and talked. Yes, it was a shock, but oh, what a pleasant one. The co-writers, Dr. Simon G. Sachs, a prominent Duluth physician, and Joe Cook, KDAL's promotion and publicity manager, are in our studios and will be interviewed by a native Duluthian, Margaret Culkin Banning. Mrs. Banning is one of this country's best-loved writers and is known for her keen insight and understanding of life today. Here she is, Margaret Culkin Banning.
Before I ask you any questions, let me extend to both of you my sincere congratulations. This first recognition of your writing ability brings with it a heartwarming feeling that will not disappear with the succeeding years. This may be the happiest night of your life so far, but there may quite well be greater ones to come. Now tell me, one of you, how does it happen that a young radio man and a physician should get together to co-author a play?
I might answer that, Mrs. Banning. Joe and I were talking in the hospital waiting room just before his wife had her baby. We found it out in our discussion that Dr. Christian was one of our favorite shows, and also we were both interested in entering a script for the contest.
Well, that's right, Mrs. Banning. Dr. Sachs was really keeping me cool, and when he admitted he had a plot for a mystery play, I was all attention. Right there in the waiting room, I called at the pacing room at the time, We agreed to work together on a script and submit it to Dr. Christian. Dr. Sachs worked out the unusual plot, and I rewrote and edited the script for radio use.
Has either of you submitted the script to the program before?
I haven't, but Joe Cook did last year.
But I didn't have any luck.
Now aren't you glad you tried again? Who was the persistent one?
Well, the doctor is to thank for that, Mrs. Banning. Last year I submitted two stories, but even I recognized that their plots were weak. But for several years I've been listening to Dr. Christian mainly to study the manner in which the stories were developed. I guess I hadn't listened long enough when I turned over the scripts last year. But this time we had a good, strong plot, and I wrote and rewrote the dialogue until I felt certain it couldn't be improved. At least, not by an amateur like me.
I can't help but wonder how old you are, Joe. You have such a young-looking face under that thatch of red hair. Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Not at all. I guess I've got one of those young faces, but I'm really 23.
Well, you have a few years ahead of you to write. How long have you been in radio?
Well, I've been in the entertainment business since I was 10 years old, singing and playing in a little band in my hometown of Superior, Wisconsin. My first air work started when I was 15. Strangely enough, right here at KDAL. I was one of the first kid news reporters, I guess, giving news from a child's angle. But actually, I think the merit for this award should go to the brains of this combination, Dr. Simon Sachs.
Actually, it seems to me the honors are quite evenly divided. Doctor, is it unusual for a physician to take an interest in writing? Tell me, have you written any stories before?
Nothing but the usual themes that go with college days.
I understand your plot concerns a poison, Dr. Sachs. How did it happen you thought of a mystery play?
It's quite logical for a physician's mind to run along these lines. For a mystery is much like making a diagnosis from a set of signs and symptoms.
Now, that certainly makes sense, Doctor. And why is your play titled Curare?
Well, that's the key to the whole play, Mrs. Banning. I think it's best we wait until the play is produced on a future Dr. Christian program.
Well, I agree with you, Dr. Sachs. We'll be very interested to hear that performance. And again, good luck and good writing.
Thank you, Margaret Culkin Banning, for your interview with the two new writers of Duluth, Dr. Simon G. Sachs and Joe Cook of the KDAL staff. This is KDAL Duluth, returning you to New York.
The third award of $500 was won by James Boston of Cambridge, Massachusetts. So we take it now to WEEI in Boston. Come in, WEEI.
Yes, from the studios of WEEI, it's Mr. Boston from Boston. That's almost double talk, and it does sound like a scriptwriter's pun. But right beside me is a personable-looking young man named Mr. Boston. Is that actually your own name, or have you adopted it as a pen name?
No, that's my real-life name. But of course, it makes a good pen name, too.
Well, your pen certainly has helped put Boston on the radio map. Which would you say was the oldest, Boston the city or Boston the man?
Well, all I know is that Boston has been in the family a long time. As a matter of fact, it's an old English name, and some of my ancestors were among the first settlers from old Boston to the New World Boston.
Mr. Boston, how do you feel about winning third prize in the Dr. Christian competition this year?
Very pleased, Mr. Garrigus. And a little dazed. After winning a 2000 award last year, I had no idea that I'd win another magnificent prize this year.
Then winning this fine prize is indeed a surprise.
It's a mighty pleasant surprise to any writer. And I want to take this opportunity to extend my personal congratulations to Miss Eleanor Tashius, this year's winner of the Dr. Christian Award. I know from experience how pleased she must be.
Well, to judge from the outstanding success achieved by you former award winners, Mr. Boston, she's well launched as a radio writer.
I sincerely wish her good fortune and welcome her to the alumnus of Dr. Christian Award winners.
Mr. Boston, do you enjoy writing the script for Mr. Hirschholt and Miss Price?
I certainly do. In writing for the Dr. Christian show, I never have to think of characterization, but just plotting. Dr. Christian and Judy Price are so vividly portrayed that I can always foresee how they would react under almost any conditions.
Have you written other radio shows since last year, Mr. Boston?
Yes, Mr. Garrigus. I have had the good fortune to have written several scripts which have been produced coast to coast on various CBS shows. But the Dr. Christian show is my first love, and it was the Vaseline program which really started me as a full-time radio writer. Every script I've written this year has been produced, and I've received invitations to write for several other outstanding shows.
Have you any pet theories regarding radio writing which might help others, Mr. Boston?
I think that acting out one script is the best test for the beginning writer. If hearing it read aloud doesn't nauseate the writer, then quite possibly the listener may even enjoy it.
That sounds simple enough. Just write it out and give it a listen.
Hardly as simple as that, Mr. Garrigus. I can offer one tip, though, that is a must for really tight writing.
Some magic formula or shortcut, perhaps?
Oh, no. The long way around is the shortest way to arrive at a good script. Rewriting your script in entirety, as much as 7 times, is absolutely essential. Only by constant polishing, pointing up, and revising can a script be produced of broadcast quality.
Thank you, Mr. Boston, for that sound advice.
It has been a great honor, Mr. Garrigus, to speak to the fine Dr. Christian family tonight. And all I can say is goodbye and good luck.
This is WEEI Boston returning you to New York.
We're back now in the theater in New York, and we're happy to say we've been able to round up another of the winners. We had to go out in the bay to get him. It seems today was his day off, and he went fishing. Here he is, Mr. Vernon O'Brien of New York City, winner of a $350 award for his script, Two Notes.
Well, so you're a native New Yorker, too, Mr. O'Brien.
Very much so. I'm even employed by the city of New York.
As a writer?
As a civil engineer. I'm in the Department of Public Works.
I see. So writing is an avocation?
That's right.
Have you written for radio before?
Yes, I've done some things for the official New York City radio station, and I've written scripts for the Catholic Actors Guild. But this will be my first baby to appear on a transcontinental network.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to hand you this check for $350 for your script, Two Notes. We'll be presenting it in this series probably during the summer.
Thank you, Mr. Herschel. I'll be looking forward to it.
We have one more winner here now, friends. A charming young lady, Miss Piggy Mann, also of New York City. She has been awarded $350 for her script, Always a Woman.
I think I can claim a Dr. Christian privilege, young lady, and ask you how old you are.
I'm 20. I graduated from the University of Wisconsin in February.
Oh, just a budding young author, huh?
Well, I've sold a few things, Mr. Herschel. Stories in the magazines Charm and 17 and Tomorrow. And radio scripts to Grand Central Station and Suspense.
Wait. Full-fledged authors at 20, huh? Well, that's the new world for you. And we congratulate you, Miss Peggy Mann, for your charming story, Always a Woman. We predict there will be many more checks like this in your mailbox of the future.
Thank you very much, Mr. Herschel. I'm grateful to you and the sponsors of the Vaseline program.
And the curtain comes down on the announcement of the winners of the Dr. Christian Award for 1945.
Every last one of us is grateful to our fighting doctors. They're doing a magnificent job of saving American wounded. Take, for an example, just one kind of casualty, serious burn cases. Remarkable recoveries from battle burns are common today thanks to a new technique in treatment. This treatment includes the surface application of petroleum jelly. You know the world's leading brand, reliable, familiar Vaseline petroleum jelly. Yes, Vaseline petroleum jelly is a most effective aid in treating burns. There's nothing better for minor household burns than Vaseline petroleum jelly. When anyone in your family suffers a minor burn or scald, do this. Spread Vaseline petroleum jelly on fine mesh gauze and place over the burn. Bandage firmly, but not tightly. Of course, if the burn is deep or covers a wide area, always call the doctor. But do keep Vaseline petroleum jelly in your medicine chest. And remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheeseborough Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Gene Herschel to say...
Next week, we hope you'll all be on hand to hear the $2,000 winner, Dave's in Love. Same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.